So, random thought.
All right.
You've been to weddings. You've also attended birthday parties and whatnot. Do you have a problem with people requesting cash gifts as opposed to traditional gifts? And I ask this because I saw this article, right? It was one of those, remember those Dear Abby joints? This is in the Washington Post, and it was Dear Carolyn, and says, my beautiful, thoughtful daughter is getting married later this year. She's paying for much of the wedding with money she has frugally tucked away. Rather than traditional gifts, she wants to request cash towards improving her new fixer-upper home. I'm appalled at this. I'm told lovingly that I'm out of touch with today's trends. And I go, you might be, just a little bit.
Yeah, I would rather give you cash. I don't want to go to the store and go, you know, look for shit to buy you. I don't really want to. I don't want to have to guess and be like, what do they need? You know,
they
bought a new house. Do they have a Vitamix? Maybe they like a Vitamix, right? And then if I go to the registry, that's the same thing. Instead of giving them the $200, I'm going to buy this item that's $200 and just get it shipped to their house. It's the same thing. Give them the cash. Maybe they want to use the cash to cover expenses for the honeymoon, or as this, they put it, frugally, you know, saved away, which I find that to be contradicting. But I don't know how you frugally tuck away money, but maybe they want to put that towards something else. I'd rather have the cash and let me do what I want with it. If I want to pay a bill with it, great. Because even if you buy me the Vitamix at Target, I can still go back to Target and take it back and get the money.
Yeah, true.
So I mean, what difference does it make?
It's like, especially when you think of weddings, right? I mean, think about weddings. Weddings cost the couple a lot of money, just in the sense of it's like $100 to $150 per person attending, right? So it's like when somebody says, yes, I'm coming, or the RSVP plus one, and then the plus one doesn't show up because you break up. You better find somebody to bring to that goddamn wedding because that plate is not going away. You understand me? or you don't show up. You know, what you... Here, I'm going to send you an invoice for the shit that you cost, because there's a lot of money involved. As you can tell, I've been planning a wedding, huh?
That would be interesting. I would love to see a Dear Abby or Dear Caroline story where someone says, I had a couple people that no-showed that RSVP, and I sent them an invoice for $50 each.
Damn right.
I think that would be hilarious.
50 is lowballing it, too. It should be at least 100. Because, look, when you're planning a wedding, those dinner plates are never cheap. Unless you're doing a buffet, and they're really not that cheap still.
Okay. So, if you're planning a wedding where the dinner plates are $100, I'm coming. And I'm bringing a plus one, and we're going to be hungry as shit. So if you're doing $100 plates, I will be there. I don't think I've ever been to a wedding that had $100 plates, so I want to see what that looks like.
Well, you'll be at one next year.
I'm going to get very high before the wedding. That way I can make sure I eat every penny of my $100 plate and some other people's plates.
You want those beans?
Beans? You don't have beans on a $100 plate. I'd be like, excuse me, are you going to eat the rest of your escargot? Let me just get one of those real quick.
You going to eat your cornbread?
Yeah. You going to eat the rest of these oysters? Let me get crackers. I'll take those oysters for you. Yeah. I don't want to see any beans on my plate. If you're talking about a $100 wedding and you got beans? No. You might want to get someone else to plan, because I don't think you know what a $100 plate at a wedding is.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude. Welcome to the show.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard a couple people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one right here. We are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Here we go. Let's just jump straight into it. Politics as usual. You apparently are still a shit starter on social media, especially on Facebook, where you like to just post stuff and knowing the people that follow you and stir up some shit.
You know, I do. I do like that. And the funny thing is, that's not the intent. Like, I've not done a post where I'm like, this is going to start some shit. I just throw stuff out there, and then somehow it happens. So Thursday, I posted that Texas was entering ending the federal unemployment at the end of June, which me as a recruiter is a great thing.
Right.
Because there are a lot of people out there that I feel are taking advantage of the system. Are there people out there that need unemployment? Yes. But there are a lot of people out there who do not. And so I posted that, and a couple people, one first comment was like a question mark, and then someone else commented, can you elaborate? Like, you know, what's your point? And I was like, all right, well, the extra $300 people are getting is going to end at the end of June, which means more people are going to be coming back to work.
Yeah.
And then it went into this, you know, like, why do you think it's wrong that people get unemployment or, you know, people are just like taking free money. And I'm like, I wasn't even going anywhere near that. My whole point is there are some people who need the unemployment, but there are a lot of people who have been taking advantage of it. And what I mean by that is if you look at what the unemployment pays, let's just say in Texas, it's roughly $625 or so a week. And so you have people arguing that, well, if your company's paid a living wage, then, you know, they wouldn't have to depend on unemployment. I was like, all right, let's play this game. What's a living wage? And so apparently MIT did this study, and, you know, in Texas, a living wage would be a minimum of, it's like a little over $15 an hour. And I'm like, okay, great. There are jobs out there who are offering $16 an hour. Mm-hmm. The unemployment people are getting now comes out to like $15.62 an hour. So it's not about offering living wage. There are people that don't want to go to work. And then people are like, well, what about their safety? And I'm just like, okay, I would agree with you. But if I'm seeing restaurants packed, bars packed, consumer spending going up, you know, the mall parking lots are packed, people aren't scared to go back to work. There are people who are just fucking lazy. And it's okay to say that. Everybody that's getting unemployment is not bad, and they're not all lazy, but there are a lot of people who are choosing to not work when they could work. That was my whole point. We had a job fair in Dallas, and one of the candidates told us, hey, I'd love to start this job, but I can't start till July. And we were like, why? Well, because the unemployment ends in June. And then I'll start. I'm like,
you've got to admire the honesty. You've got to admire the honesty.
Hey, I appreciate that. But that's all that was. But you had all these, you know, people will tell you, understand the people need money to feed their children. I'm like, what stats are you getting this shit from? You know, that's that bleeding heart. That's that far left liberal stuff that I can't stand. You know, you're going to throw children. You don't know how
listen
many
here, people
are talking about that. I'm just like, that's just crazy. There are people taking advantage of the system. People need to get off their asses and get back to work. Period. Fight me. Argue with me if you want. And the thing that pisses me off most is to somebody to argue and debate with me about hiring that doesn't do it. Right. And doesn't do it as much as I do it on a regular basis. It's like me trying to argue or trying to like outsell a car salesman. They sell 30 cars a month. I might buy 5 cars in my lifetime, but yet I'm going to try to outdo this person.
Of course.
Stay in your lane.
Everybody knows how to do your job better than you until it's time to actually do it. So there you have it.
Yeah. All these people just, it was so annoying that, and it was funny to me because I'm just still like, you know, commenting back and forth. Then I'm having other people comment, and then I'm having other friends comment, you know, against my other friends. I was just like, should I delete this? And I was like, no, I'm just going to let it ride.
That's how the conversation starts. And that's the great thing. You start the conversation. And it's interesting because you're right. People tend to go far left and far right and when they see something that's literally just right here. Here's a fact. And everybody just jumps in. You can tell where they're getting their information from, where they're getting their news from, because they just go down and start spitting out all the rhetoric, right? Whether it's, oh, well, you know, they're just trying to stop these people from, what about if you have kids at home, you've got to feed the kids. Yes, nobody said stop feeding the kids, right?
Right.
As a matter of fact, Joe Biden did do something about that, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, and on the other side, they're like, well, everybody needs to get off their ass and go back to work. Well, some people can't. Because their jobs are no longer available, right? Because there is a reality here. And more than, here's the thing about it. And I think we fail to notice that more than one thing can be true.
Yep.
And that is
what?
There are people who are taking advantage of the system and abusing the system, and there are people who genuinely need this assistance, right?
Yep.
Both can be true.
Yes.
Both can coexist. Now, the thing you want to do is take away from the people who are abusing the system and let them, those who can, get back to work and do things. Because there are people out there who are trying to get back to work and can't. And here's the problem that you get at times. You have these people who are overqualified that won't get hired because you've got people who say, well, the minute a better job comes, you're going to leave, right? you may not be the person to do that, to say that to somebody, but there are people who won't. I've watched people do that. Like, I'm not going to hire this person because they don't want to stay in this job for the next 10 years. I'm like, who wants to do this for 10 years? Besides, obviously, you, right? So it's okay if people want to grow. Do not restrict people or deny them the opportunity to work. If they're willing to do the work, just because you know that their ambitions are going to take them to higher places, you know? So
yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. And it's not about hiring people that are going to be here for 10 years. I mean, that's not it. I just need people to do this job, right?
But 10 minutes.
You have a lot of different folks with different schools of thought, right? You got some people are saying, well, it's not that I can't find a job. I need to find the right job. And I'm like, well, okay, right. I get that. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to sit on unemployment for 6 months to a year looking for the right job, mm-hmm. maybe you should find something to do in general and not depend on that. Now, unemployment is there to help and assist people. Totally get that. And mm-hmm. I totally get what it's for. But when you have a situation that we've been in where we're paying people, you know, over what people call a living wage of $15 an hour, they're getting paid more than that to stay home and choosing to do that. That is a problem with the system. And so I get it. Should companies pay more? Yes, but they're not going to. And for anybody to just make that blanket statement, well, companies should be paying more money, that's stupid. Because yeah, they should. But what you're assuming is that companies are going to make less profit. And they're not going to do that. Somebody is going to cover that cost. And so if McDonald's wants to start paying $15 an hour, somebody's paying for it. It's not the executives at McDonald's saying, hey, we had a good run. This has been awesome. These bonuses we've had have been great. But you know what? Why don't we do the right thing?
These bonuses, yeah.
Yeah, they're not doing that. So that means you're I was about to say McDLT, because that doesn't even exist anymore, but that was a damn good sandwich back in the day. But, you know, your Big Mac and fries is going to cost more money.
It's going to cost what Five Guys burgers cost, like $9 a burger.
And that's a good burger, but it is expensive. I had a burgers, fries, and a bottle of water for $18 at Five Guys. My first time going there a few weeks ago. Good burger, though. But, yeah, someone's going to be paying that cost. Mm-hmm. And so you just can't say that companies should be paying more money. That's ridiculous. And you got people with just poor work ethic that are saying, you know what? I'm going to take this $625 a week and stay home and chill. Mm-hmm. Compared to actually going out to do something and to get a job. So I don't agree with that at all.
I never really understood why they gave that much money in the first place, especially because I remember somebody said to me once, hey, so just to let you know, I'm going to be, you know, today's my last day. I'm going to be out for, you know, and they were in a different state and just like, oh, they're putting me on furlough. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry to hear that. He goes, nah, it'll be fine. I'm actually going to make more money on unemployment from than both of my jobs combined, because he was doing part-time in two different places. He's like, I'm going to make more money on this than I would. So it'll give me a time and a chance to actually focus on my other endeavors, because he had some stuff he was doing on his own. I'm like, okay, well, at least using that time productively, I'm not mad at that. And you're taking, this is what they're giving you, cool. Survive on it, make it work, let's go to the next level. But when time comes back to work, let's get back to work. As something I was looking at the other day was Money Explained on Netflix, and it's talking about especially the retirement portion of it and how mm-hmm. the money's running out and why. And it's, we've got people abusing the system now, that's not going to help the retirement system later, you know? So it'll be interesting to see how this kind of plays out. And of course, the way you like to start shit and get your liberal friends to fight your conservative friends, and you sit in the middle with your popcorn and watch.
It's delicious.
I'm just here for the comments.
Oh, yeah. It was delicious. But to just see people have that viewpoint mm-hmm. about that is just crazy. I think when the pandemic started and everything was shut down and all that stuff, yes, it made sense to do that. But right. You can't go through September, which is the original plan to go through September, and have that federal unemployment on top of the state's unemployment. It doesn't make sense, because now people are not going to work. You have so many employers that are struggling to get people to show up for interviews. You get they're having a hard time trying to find people to do any job. And I think what's going to happen is those people that have the right mentality, that's like, hey, this might not be my dream job, but it's a job. Let me go in and do this. Those people are going to wind up excelling and growing. And then when the market opens up, when they stop paying unemployment, now people want to come back to the workforce. They're going to start complaining that they can't get the jobs that they think they're qualified for. And it's like, well, you chose to sit on your ass.
You chose to sit on the sidelines.
This whole time. And so this is what you get. And so now you got to try to fight your way back in. Now, there are some people that couldn't work. There's certain people that couldn't because of childcare, whatever. I get that. And I'm not talking about those people. I am talking about the large amount of lazy people who chose to stay home and not work when they could have. Those are the people I am talking about that are the problem. And yes, did they mess it up for everybody else? Yeah.
Yes.
And that's life. That's what happens. A few people mess it up for some great people, and that's just how it always happens. But we should not
be paying
people
to
stay home. Deal with
people messing up for the rest of us.
Deal with it. Sorry. I'm sorry, but I just have no sympathy for that.
We kind of talked about it because I know a couple restaurant owners who are going through the same issue that you are. So while I can't really firsthand understand it, I know people who are going through it, so I understand that. But one of the things you brought up was about, you know, taking care of the kids. And apparently President Biden is working on that because he's just signed this bill and that's going to offer this tax credit. And what his tax credit is run is like $3,000 per child if they're between the age of 6 and 17, and then $3,600 if they're under 6. Now, the couple requirements are if it's single, then it's the max is $75,000, right? For income. And then, and I want to say this is adjusted income. So you can make more, and then your adjusted income is $74,000, then you get the full amount, right? And then also, if it's a head of household, it's $112,500, I believe. And then if you're married and filing together, then it's $150,000. Again, this is adjusted in income. So are you ready to go have a kid then so you can get some of these tax credits? What's up?
Apparently. I need to... Going back to a previous episode, I need to reevaluate my pullout policy because it obviously it pays.
Stay in.
Yeah.
Stay in there.
I read that and I'm like, okay, I'm conflicted on this one because.
What do you have against the kids?
See, don't even go that angle. See, you pulled the Fox News. You pulled the Fox News. It's like, Terrell, why do you hate children?
I'm why do you hate children so much, Terrell? What do you have against the poor, innocent children?
Didn't say that at all. I just think, okay, so do people need assistance? Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense. I like the fact that, you know, people making over $150,000. Part of me likes, okay, you probably don't need it. But the other part of me says, well, that's very presumptuous because if they have four kids and they make $150,000 and they have like a 1-year-old, a 4-year-old, 7-year-old, and a 9-year-old, they could use some help, right? Mm-hmm. For anything. I mean, it could be for school. It could be whatever. They could use the assistance. So why do they not get anything at all because they make over $150,000?
Mm-hmm.
But then on the flip side,
here we go.
The people that make less than that and that have a bunch of children. Okay, I'm going to get hate comments for this, but I don't like having to help fund stuff because of your poor decision making.
Because you have no idea what the pullout policy is. I got you.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's okay, here's the deal. I get, oops, I got pregnant once and I have a kid and I'm struggling. I get it. But after that first time, you know what could happen. You know, if you engage in intercourse, you know, there's a possibility.
Oh,
and
boy,
so if you don't protect yourself, great. So if you have 2, 3, 4 kids.
I'm allergic to those condoms. That's why the plastic, it irritates me.
2, 3, 4 kids. I don't think that we should be paying for that. You chose that life. And so you need to find a job that helps cover that. I'm conflicted, right? Again,
I believe the children are our future.
The children are our future, but it's the parents who make bad decisions. It's not the children's fault. They didn't just come here on their own.
Let them lead them.
You know, I think, to my knowledge, there's only been one child that came here on their own, and there was no sex involved, and that's a myth, if anything. I don't believe that story, but that's
somebody
only one person.
Somebody was lying.
Yes, only one person that's ever happened to. It's not a common thing, but if you have multiple children, and now the government's going to be giving you, you know, $3,000 per kid, mm-hmm. that's just a, I just don't understand.
And that's $3,000 a year, not $3,000 a month.
I understand. I understand. Okay, I'm but let's say you have three kids under the age of six, which mm-hmm. is very possible. Mm-hmm. Then you're getting $1,000 a month from the government.
Yeah, if
on top of what you and your partner have, mm-hmm. you know, income you have, you're getting $1,000 a month from the government. Now, is it great to give away money like that? Sure. Will it help a lot of people? Yes, but I just wonder, is that what we should be doing? That you get, you know, this money a month because you chose to have children.
So under President Terrell's reign, he would say, you don't get this extra money. You earn your earned income child credit the way most of these people do, and you go get pregnant by a basketball player, a football player, or a baseball player, goddamn it.
Nope. Under President Terrell, here's what I would do. You get this once for your mm-hmm. first kid. Mm-hmm. If you keep having kids after that, that's on you. At that point.
So only one child's worth it. I got you.
No. Don't pull a Fox News on me and say only one child is worth it. I'm saying that you make that
$300. Only first child matters.
You make that $3,000 stretch to help your choices that you made for these other children. Now, keep in mind that there's a difference between I got pregnant and had Quince. Different scenario. I'm not talking about those folks. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the people that intentionally or accidentally keep having children, and they can't afford it.
Under President Terrell, you have one child, then both you and the daddy get spayed and neutered.
Never said that at all. Never said that at all. And they're not dogs. All I'm saying is this. I think it's great that the government can help people, and there are people out there who need help. I don't knock that.
Right.
But I don't like helping people based off their poor decision-making. If you can't afford to have a bunch of children, don't do it. And then don't depend on the government to help you with that. You chose this life, which means you need to work harder. You need to find another job or, hey, date up. Find some. If you want to have a bunch of kids, date a dude who can help afford a whole bunch of kids. But
get you an athlete or an entertainer.
I just don't see why you would do that. Like You chose that. It's so expensive to have kids now. You know, you think, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it's common to see people with 5, 6, 7 kids, you know, but the world was a different place back in the 70s and the 60s. Mm-hmm. It's expensive. So why would you continue to do that? If you are struggling with your first child and you're struggling financially, why would you bring a second one?
And a third.
Why? And a third, you know, or if the first person you're with is a deadbeat dad and didn't help you take care of the first kid, or he already had kids he wasn't taking care of and you thought your vagina was special, that he was going to change his ways for you. And what you're making bad choices. Guys, too, if you can't afford a baby, don't make a baby. Pull out, wear a condom. Or abstain, whatever you got to do. But if you can't afford the result, don't do it. And if it happens once, oops, I get it. You messed up. It happens. All right. We've all been there. We've all had some oopses in our lifetime. We've all had some, woo, thank you, Jesus moments. But if it happens first time.
Oh, shit. I had a flashback.
It happens the first time. We've all been there as guys, right? It's like, oh, hey, I'm late. You're like, late for what?
You should set your alarm for 30 minutes earlier. Yeah.
And so then you're sweating for the next you know, 2 weeks, and finally like, yeah, I got my period. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Whoop. I did not want to be involved with her for 18 years. Oh, my God. But I'm just saying that if it happens one time, I get it, right? And the government can help you with that first one. Mm. But if you continue to do it and have babies after that, you're the problem, in my opinion.
So under President Terrell, on day one, he will institute the pullout policy. You know, speaking of people making bad decisions, man, your guy, Theodore Roosevelt. Teddy Cruz just keeps, you know, open mouth, insert foot every single time.
Yeah. What do you say this time? What'd you read?
All right. So I came across this tweet from Ted Cruz. It says, "Holy crap, perhaps a woke, emasculated military is not the best idea." And he was quote tweeting this tweet from Pardes Saleh, who had Russian Army ad versus U.S. Army ad, right? And in the Russian Army ad, is just the typical man going after, you know, going into this hardcore training versus the animated ad of this woman who was raised by two moms, went to UC, University of California, Davis, and ran to a recruiter who convinced her to go into the military. She says, "I'm going in to fight for my family and for my moms who raised me to be this strong woman." And so he's talking about this emasculated army is not the best idea. To which, of course, he's getting flack based on this because Ted Cruz, being Ted Cruz, only knows how to do one thing: open mouth, insert foot.
Well, you know, Ted Cruz knows all about fighting and being tough and protecting people because, you know, he stood up to Trump and Trump was talking shit about his wife and his dad. Mm-hmm. You know, he stood up against that. No, he didn't. Ted Cruz is just needs to get voted out. We already discussed that. There's not a lot that guy can say. One thing I can say about Ted Cruz, he's smart enough to make sure he has enough money to take care of his children. And so he doesn't need money from the Biden administration. But so I'll give him credit for that. But
I swear, I think you actually are going to vote for Cruz when this is all said and done.
Outside of that, I have no love for Ted Cruz. I don't have a lot of respect for him. I think the guy is just a liar and an opportunist and just totally contradicts himself. A lot of times when he tweets stuff, you go back a few years, you're like, that's totally opposite of what you said before. So it doesn't surprise me that he's going to open mouth, insert foot. All I hope is that when the voting booths open up, we go out and do our part in Texas and vote this clown out.
I hope you do too, because, you know, like people like Senator Tammy Duckworth, who lost both of her legs while serving in Iraq, tweeted, "Holy crap, perhaps a U.S. senator shouldn't suggest that the Russian military is better than the American military that protected him from an insurrection he helped foment," right?
Yep.
We also had Amy McGrath, who was a former U.S. Marine who ran against Mitch McConnell. If you remember her last year, she ran against Mitch McConnell in Kentucky. She said, "Dear Ted Cruz, you have no idea what being a warrior is all about. Signed, all women who have worn the uniform to protect your right to be an ass."
Yeah. Well, I think that's one thing you don't do, right? I think that's one thing you don't do, whether you like military or not. You don't talk shit if you've not signed up and they have done that. You know, you watch your mouth. Like, there's no way I could ever say anything bad about people in the military. I'm a military kid. I could never say anything bad about them. But for Ted Cruz to make that type of comment that our military is weak because there's women in it is stupid. It's just a stupid thing to say. There are some badass women warriors, and damn right for all of them. In fact, any woman veteran in the state of Texas should vote Ted Cruz out because of just that alone right there. What, even if you feel you agree with his policies, the fact that he makes that comment and you are a female that served, you should be pissed. And you should say, "Hey, I don't need to hear anything else from this guy. That's reason enough for me to vote him out."
So how about former Missouri Senate candidate and Army National Guard veteran Jason Kander, who says he can do like what, 7 push-ups, I'm guessing? You know, I love when Ted Cruz does something stupid because the I'm always there for the replies. The replies are always so hilarious, and I really hope that, you know, your campaign works, that you're able to get your friends who were so upset about you, you know, posting about Governor Abbott and this whole federal unemployment benefits. And hopefully they'll go out and they'll vote Ted Cruz out. But honestly, I think Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas will turn into Flexus. and Ted Cruz will be back in office again.
Well, you know, I don't know how many push-ups he can do, but I know he can carry a case of bottled water and put it in the trunk. I know he can do that.
He can carry it at least 7 steps.
Yeah, carry at least 7 steps. And, you know, he's super healthy because, you know, COVID doesn't matter to him. He can go to Mexico and come right back all within 24-hour period, and he's fine and be around other people.
Be around other people, shake hands, because, you know, he's immune. Mm-hmm. You know, they just
strong like bull.
Vampires are immune to the coronavirus. Look, you know, one of the things we were talking about earlier was the fact, and we had mentioned this in a couple episodes before, was the fact that people were showing up to these interviews, right? Mm-hmm. And taking interviews, but not taking the job, or scheduling the interviews and not showing up to the interviews, which kind of brought this around to me. And I think we haven't done this in a while. Let's do Terrell's tips. And I want to know, should you take the interview for the experience of interviewing? Because sometimes you'll hear people say, yeah, well, even if you don't think you're going to get the job, go ahead and apply for it and take the interview, because the experience you'll gain interviewing for the position can help you further down the road. True or not?
Yes, true. I've told many people that. I said, even if you applied and you get a call for a job you really don't want, go ahead and interview, because A, a couple things could happen. You're going to get some practice because everybody tries to figure out how they should prepare for an interview, and there's really nothing you can do to prepare for an interview. Like, I try to tell people, stop looking on the internet for questions. You're talking about yourself, and you're the expert of you, so you don't need to study to be able to talk about you.
But wait. Right? I'm not good at talking about me, so I am probably one of the worst people when it comes to talking about all the good shit that I do, because to me it's just do your job, and so therefore I'm not good at that. So if you're like me, how do you prep that anyway?
That's what the practice does. That's what interviewing some of these other jobs will help you do.
Right.
Is get you used to talking about yourself. You know, I was interviewing for some jobs some years ago, and I kept getting like to the finals and what's not getting the job. Right. And finally, I just asked the recruiter for feedback, and she said, well, a lot of your responses were very tactical and they're looking for somebody that's more strategic. I'm like, holy shit, that's great advice. You know, and so I started making notes of all the different things that I've done from a strategic standpoint, and then we started to talk about it from that level. And then guess what happened? Got a new job.
Now you're on fries.
Yeah. Now I'm on register. That's where you make the real money. But I think it's totally okay to interview for those other jobs. So that is good practice. So that's one. The second thing that it can do for you is sometimes you think you don't want a job based on what you saw in the job description and a little bit of research you did online. But then you actually get there and you get to talk, and you might realize, well, wow, this is actually a great opportunity.
Right.
This could be a really game-changing type of job. So you might, it could be better than what you thought. And I've had jobs where I interviewed for one job, and they were like, hey, you know what? You're really experienced at XYZ. Mm-hmm. We have this other position that we were thinking about filling in 6 months, but now that we've met you, I want to talk to you about that. So you just never know what opportunities it could do. So I definitely think you should still interview for some of those other jobs. You just never know what it could do for you.
That's a very good point, in a sense of, you know, applying for one job and then, hey, I saw you apply for this. Here's one I think you'd be great for. That's happened to me before, too. Also, I always like to tell people, you know, consistently send stuff out. Right? Why? You never know. What looks good to – if Terrell and I are both looking for somebody, what Terrell sees in your resume or your package, you may go, eh, doesn't fit what I'm doing. But I may go, perfect. Everybody's looking for somebody different or something different because they're filling out this puzzle, right?
Right.
And are you the piece that's going to make that puzzle work? So
you keep
applying for these things. And at the same time, it's if you're ready to grow, don't just go on waiting for the perfect job to go and apply for it. Or because you hear, oh, this other person has applied for it, go, ah, well, I can't beat them. They're going to get it. You never know. And I can honestly say, had I known the people that had applied for that position back then, I probably would have psyched myself out and said, well, there's no way I beat this person with all this experience for this position.
Yeah.
So don't psych yourself out. Go ahead, have faith in yourself, because at the end of the day, it may not be this job, but it could be the next one.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, don't focus on all the bullet points on the job description.
Right.
And kind of weed yourself out. Statistically, men will apply to jobs even though they're not qualified. Women won't. Women will read a lot of the bullets and be like, well, I don't have that, that, and that, so I'm not going to apply. No, you should still apply for it because you never know. A lot of the bullet points on job descriptions, I've written a lot of job descriptions. We don't have to have all of those things. Right. And it's still going to boil down to the conversation. But I had a girl, when I worked at this one company, she applied for a human resource manager position. But her background was in recruiting, and I needed a recruiter. And I saw that. I was like, hey, I know that you applied to this, but would you be interested in this? And I talked to her about the job on my team and hired her, and she was amazing. She's one of the best people I've ever worked for or worked with. But she was nowhere near qualified for the HR manager role. But she's amazing at what she does as a recruiter. So I think you don't pay attention to all those little bullets on the job description. Take a chance and apply to. Now, is that going to piss off recruiters? Sure. You know, do recruiters want to read all those applications? Yeah. But it's going to make them mad, but who cares, right? I mean, I'm thinking, if I'm
focused
on the job seeker.
Recruiters right now are going, shut up. You're telling them to apply to every position. Stop it.
Well, but here's the other reality. Recruiters don't read every resume. I spend maybe 2 to 3 seconds per resume. That's it. So if I have 100 resumes, I'm not looking at all of them. And God forbid, am I reading any cover letters? Hell no. I'm just looking quickly. Do you have what I'm looking for? And I move on. So it doesn't hurt a recruiter. A lot of them have different technology within their ATS that can help screen that stuff out anyway. But apply for the job seeker. Go for it. You miss all the shots you don't take, right? Go for it. You never know, especially as the economy turns around, as the market's opening back up during these tragic times. You and I said this before on one of our second or third episodes, that during times like this, opportunities happen.
Yes.
Opportunities happen, and you just never know. Get into that company, and you never know where it can take you, especially you had all these people that were sitting on unemployment, you know, chilling. You get in there and take that job. 6 months from now, you'll be years ahead of them. Yep. Those people that chose to sit out. So you never know, but go for it. Apply for those jobs. Shoot for the opportunity. And then if you apply for a job you're not qualified for and you get a chance to interview for it, and you realize after that interview, like, I totally bombed that one. Great. What'd you learn? And now you're prepared to do something.
One.
Yeah, because the higher you go, the harder it gets.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you don't become a director just because you're cute. You know, it well, some companies maybe.
I might say, but, I mean, no.
Right, but it didn't happen for us, right?
Yeah. Definitely not for me.
Yeah, it just wasn't this, right? And I've never been the smartest person in the room, and I don't want to be. But it takes a lot of work. But the higher you go, the harder it is to get those jobs, and you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit. But you don't know what you don't know until you try.
Exactly. You know, as we flip over to For the Love of Sports, I haven't been paying attention to the NBA a whole lot. I know you are because you're still a Lakers fan. You know, when Kobe retired, I stopped watching the NBA till it gets down to probably the finals, gets deeper into the playoffs, because this early part, I really don't care. NBA playoffs have started. Are the Lakers still in? I have no idea. Are they?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So Lakers are in. So in the West, you have the Jazz and the Grizzlies. I would put my money on Memphis. Then you have Phoenix Suns and the Lakers. Lakers, we're going to take that one. Denver and Portland. I don't know about that one. I want to lean towards Portland. Clippers and Mavericks. I'm going to take the Mavericks. Luka. They don't have enough to win at all, but I think Luka is a beast. And then in the East, you have Philadelphia and the Wizards. So 76ers are going to take that. Brooklyn Nets and the Celtics. Nets are going to win that one. Milwaukee
that's just,
Bucks.
That's just your Celtic hate right there.
Milwaukee Bucks and the Heat. I'm going to take Milwaukee because the Heat beat them out last year.
Mm-hmm.
It feels weird saying last year because that was like just December. But
I will say this, though. I did see Chris Middleton hit that game-winning shot over the weekend. Chris Middleton's out of Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you have the Knicks and the Hawks. Knicks have always been trash, so I take the Hawks. But my gut tells me it's going to come down to the finals of the Lakers and the Nets.
I knew you were going to put the Lakers in there.
Of course I would. Why would I not?
Okay.
Lakers and Nets. And, of course, who am I going to take?
The Lakers.
Because I think the Nets have – everybody's focused on all that star-studded talent they have on that team. Mm. I feel that team's going to implode. Because it's just too much talent. You know, you take the Lakers when we had Shaq.
Not enough talent?
We had Kobe. we had Karl Malone. We had Gary Payton.
Yep.
We had a stacked house. It was like we thought, hey, this is a definite.
Mm.
But it doesn't always work when you have that many stars. And so with what the Nets have, even adding Blake Griffin to the mix, I'm like, we'll see. But I just don't think it's going to I don't think it's going to work out.
Well, that should be interesting. So you're picking the Lakers to do it again. Are you willing to put LeBron as the GOAT after this if they win it again?
I would say LeBron is a GOAT, but not the GOAT.
Okay.
I think
that's
people
the best
focus.
Argument.
Yeah, I think he is great. He is a GOAT, but I can't say that he surpasses Kobe and Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. You know what I mean? I can't say he surpasses them.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and he's a different type of player. You know, I think I would still argue right now.
He flops a lot.
One second left on the clock, you're down by two, and you're about to bring the ball in at half court. Who are you going to give the ball to? LeBron, Kobe, or Jordan? I would go Kobe first, Jordan, then LeBron.
Well, that's the Laker in you saying that, but it would be Jordan first, Kobe second, then LeBron. Well, as a matter of fact, if all three were on the court, I would give it to LeBron because he'd pass it to the open one. He'd find a way to pass it to the open man.
Yes, yeah. He would give up the rock.
Kobe's definitely shooting it, and Jordan is gonna draw everybody, but he'll take a little bit more than 2 seconds. So, yeah, I'd give it to LeBron because he'll find the open person.
Yeah. No, I know. And I think I was just thinking that because I was watching this YouTube video of the 40 best plays by Kobe, and you just watch some of the stuff that guy, it's just magical. It's just magical. You're like, how the hell did he do that and just make people look silly?
Kobe, to me, was one of those interesting players because I wasn't a big Kobe Bryant fan when he first got into the league, right? And then
is it because he was a Laker or you just didn't like him?
No, I just didn't like him. I think what it was that I realized the reason I didn't like him was the reason that people who didn't like Jordan didn't like Jordan. When the game was on the line, if the ball was in his hand, he was going to take the shot and more than likely he was going to make it, right? And then I started to respect his game. And then I became a fan. So slowly but surely, I became a fan. He's the only other person besides Jordan that made me watch the NBA outside of the NBA playoffs. So like, if the game was on, I would stop and watch it. If LeBron's playing, I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. And if, trust me, I will keep going. I'm not going to stop. But if Kobe was on, I was always watching it, right? So that's how I became a pseudo Laker fan. Not really a Laker fan, just I was really a Kobe fan. So in that sense. So I'm a LeBron as the GOAT can never be because, one, he flops too much. The GOATs don't flop. Don't flop. You can't go through the lane, dunk on somebody, beat your chest, and then the next minute the 4'2" point guard barely touches you and you fall down. You are way too big for that shit. This is not soccer. Stop it. So that alone just takes him out of the conversation to me. But
it's a different league. It's a different league.
I give a goddamn. If you're gonna beat your chest when you go through the middle and dunk over somebody, then do not flop. Stop it. You're too big for that shit.
I agree, but flopping has become a part of the game.
Even Shaq didn't flop like that.
Well, because it was Hackershack. He was getting hit all the time. So there's no way he could flop. Yeah, but it was a different league. You know, they don't play like that anymore. But I hear you. I hear you. I think he is still considered
pull your stockings
a GOAT.
Up, man up.
I think LeBron is still going to be considered a GOAT. But I think we need to start trying to argue who is the greatest of all time, and just say he's one of the greatest of all time. And then if you do that, that changes the game because that puts a whole lot of people into that category. Tim Duncan would be in that category. Now, does anybody put Tim Duncan in a GOAT conversation? No. But technically, for a power forward, he was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was a great. But is he the great? Is he a LeBron or a Jordan or Kobe or Chamberlain or Magic Johnson or Larry Bird? No. But he's pretty freaking great at what he did. I didn't like him. I hate the Spurs. Even though I grew up in San Antonio, hate the Spurs. And any Spurs fans want to talk shit, do it. Bring it.
Oh, boy. Here you go again. Oh, boy. You know, speaking of people who are ready to talk shit, it's anybody that wasn't a big fan of Tim Tebow because he's back in the league.
Yeah? Well, he hasn't signed yet, though, right?
No, he has signed. He has signed his contract. Signed his. I think I saw something where his jersey was selling like 85 jerseys now, selling a whole lot. He is with Jacksonville Jaguars with his old college coach Urban Meyer, and he's now playing, trying out for a position as a tight end, which is something they tried to get him to do when he was in the league the first time around. And here's the thing I have about Tim Tebow, and I know Tim Tebow was this great college athlete. But he was not a great college quarterback, no matter how much they try to say he was. We talked about this on a podcast before when he had that 300-yard game and they said he couldn't throw the ball. But if you go back and look at it, he was throwing it to Percy Harvin either behind the line of scrimmage or 2 yards in front of the line of scrimmage, and Percy Harvin took it for those extra 299 yards of his 300 that he got. So Tim Tebow wasn't this great quarterback. But however, when he came into Florida, was he a winner? Yes. Is he a great guy? Yes. But Chris Leak was a better quarterback, but they sat Chris Leak to start Tim Tebow, right? Now, here it is. Tim Tebow hasn't played in the league since 2012. He was a quarterback, a mediocre third-string quarterback at that. And they're giving him a shot again. Yet, you've got Cap still sitting on the sidelines that can't get a proper tryout. I mean, Stephen A. Smith called it a perfect example of white privilege. And I'm sorry. I hate to have to bring race in here. I don't want to offend your far-right friends. But, you know, actually, I don't care if I offend them. but I have to agree with Stephen A. Smith right here.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Two total different scenarios.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, you know, calm down, Farrakhan. This is not about race. So here's the difference. Tim Tebow played really one good year in the NFL and then was a bench warmer the next year and then was out, right? No issues with that. He just wasn't a good quarterback. They kept trying to give him to play tight end. So now he's coming in to be a tight end. He's not coming in at quarterback, right? Now, Kaepernick, regardless what everybody feels about Cap, he's never going to get a chance in the league again.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But if Kaepernick wanted to come in and say, hey, I would love to play receiver, that's different. And he's not doing that. Cap would want to come in
as a quarterback. He took a team to the Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
I hear you.
You cannot compare Cap at quarterback to Tim Tebow at quarterback.
What I said is, Cap will never be a quarterback in the NFL again.
No, he'll never play in the NFL again because of the racist
owners.
He'll
never be a quarterback. Now, if he wanted...
He couldn't even be the water boy.
Do you think if Cap tried to come in at another position, would he do it? No, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't even try it. But that's different. That's the difference in this. Tim Tebow is not coming back as a quarterback. He's coming back to try out as a tight end and play a tight end, a different position. That's what makes this different. You take DeMarcus Russell, who was a bust of a quarterback, right?
Jamarcus.
Now, he was terrible, but he if he wanted to come back and be a tight end, could he have tried that? Sure, but he sucked at trying to read. He could have been like more of a lineman because he blew up. But if he would have tried to come back and did something like that, is that possible? Sure. You know, but this is not a white privilege thing. This is Tim Tebow trying to play a different position to come into the league. There's nothing wrong with that.
This is really and truly.
No.
It's not.
And it's Urban Meyer is a genius because look at what he's going to have to work with. You know, the Jaguars are going to be a tough team. And then they have Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. He's going to start, you know, day one, period. Then you got Tim Tebow, he can throw it to. You got two winners. Trevor Lawrence, as you said, never lost, has not had a losing season in his life. Tim Tebow.
But he has lost. He's lost two games in college. It's just regular. He never lost a regular season game.
Right. But Tim Tebow, huge winner. Like just having Tim Tebow in the locker room.
He lost, but yeah, go ahead.
Tim Tebow in the locker room does a whole lot of wonders for a team. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
I am curious to see what's going to happen too, because I don't think. Here it is. He hasn't played in the league in 9 years, right? It's going to be interesting how that locker room reacts to him being in there because it is, whether it's white privilege or not, it is a straight privilege for him to be this 30-something-year-old, this changing position, want to come in and play a position he's never played before, and you're going to give him a roster slot as opposed to somebody else who's been playing the position since they've been kids. and coming up and ready to go and younger have more longevity. But it's because Urban Meyer loves Tim Tebow like a son. So, yes, it is privilege. You're probably right. It's probably not white privilege, as Stephen A. Smith said. And I love what he did, it just to stir people up because he knows that's going to get people talking. At the end of the day, though, it is privilege that he gets this shot.
It's not. It's no different than if you were to build your own radio station. You're going to have people who apply who've been in radio for a long time that you don't know. And then you're also going to have people that you've worked with that you're going to hand select and be like, hey, I'm building something big. I would love to have you on my team. You know, doesn't matter. Right. And so if Tim Tebow comes out there and he's able to perform and he's able to play the role and his athletic ability hasn't changed, how does that negatively impact the people who've been playing tight end forever? Because if you were that much better than Tebow, you'd have got the spot. But also, if you're Urban Meyer, you're going to pick your team. I try to hand select people as best I can on my teams.
And I agree with you on that. I mean, so here's the thing about it. I have nothing against Tim Tebow.
Sounds like you do.
No, what I do have against is everybody who tries to make him out to be greater than he was. Do I think he was a winner? Yes. Do I think he was great for his team at Florida? Yes, he definitely was. But he wasn't.
That's all everybody's ever argued. No one's argued he's anything more than that.
Oh, no, that's not true. I was in the Southeast when that was going on. So trust me, they tried to argue the great quarterback that he was, which he wasn't. all this stuff. Oh, well, look at him when he got in the NFL. And he came back when he hit the post route in the playoff game against the Steelers. Yeah, that was prevent defense and them sitting back 50 yards thinking, well, just don't let him throw over your head. But anybody could have made that throw. It was an easy throw. It was more on the receiver. Again, same thing when he had Percy Harvin at Florida. So I say this to say, you've got a 30-something-year-old guy that's going to get the shot at tight end, a position he's never played before, over someone younger. And that younger person, that younger tight end, could be white or black or Hispanic. I'm not saying they got to be any specific race. So tell your racist regime to pull back a little bit. I'm not coming on that. I'm just saying. All I'm saying is he's getting this shot based on privilege, and you can acknowledge that. And if you just acknowledge the fact that it's on privilege, because the privilege is that that Urban Meyer loves him like a son.
That's not privilege. That's a total different category.
Okay, nepotism, whatever.
It's not nepotism, not family.
He treats him like family. He said it. He's like his own son. He said that before.
That's not nepotism. That's a totally different deal.
Okay, whatever.
But yeah, it's not. It's not nepotism, and it's not
whatever.
Privilege.
It is.
Not privilege to say, okay, so then you're privileged because you've had people that you've worked with that handpicked you to come join a team so that you have the same privilege that Tim Tebow has right now, right?
Yeah, same way. You've had that too. So it's yeah,
exactly. So then, yeah. So it's not privilege then, because if we all have it, it's not privilege.
So now you don't want to call it that. Okay,
it's not privilege. If whatever, privilege whatever. Means that there's something separate. You have something, or you get something because of who
he's
you are. That no
of the
one else can
for
get.
9 years. He's been out. The NFL is not a place that you sit out for 9 years and come back and get back in. It's not.
Well, not at quarterback.
Oh Jesus! Here we
not
go.
Not at running back. But
at a position you've never played before?
At tight end? He could be a tight end. We'll just see how it goes.
Yeah, this will be interesting.
But if I had to roll the dice, would I do what Urban Meyer's doing? Exactly what he's doing.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what it does do, though. To his genius in doing this, he's put a spotlight on Jacksonville, and people are talking about Jacksonville. You know what he's also done? He's guaranteed him the slot on Hard Knocks, this upcoming season of Hard Knocks, because you know they're going to go there to get Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, and Tim Tebow. Oh, they're definitely going there for Hard Knocks this year. It's going to make for great TV.
Do people still watch Hard Knocks? I haven't watched that in forever.
Will you watch it this year with Tim Tebow, Trevor Lawrence, and Urban Meyer?
No.
You're just a hater. Would you watch it with Taysom Hill?
No.
And Jameis Winston?
I don't really like watching Hard Knocks because I feel like that's another form of reality TV.
It
you
is
know
reality
how I feel
TV.
About you know how I feel about reality TV shows. I don't care.
We got some reality TV to watch coming up soon. We'll talk about it in an upcoming episode.
No, I'm not watching it. So
yes,
we can talk about it.
We talked about this, and you're definitely watching it.
I have video footage where I said I am not watching any of the show. So
I have video footage of you saying that you're never watching it again. But we already agreed that you would. So therefore,
I think you edited that.
Whatever. Here's something else you're probably not going to want to watch again, but I'm sure you're going to watch. They signed it last night. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder 3. Are you excited about this?
Nope.
Why not?
Not at all. I just don't think it should happen. If I was Tyson Fury, I wouldn't have done it. Because Deontay Wilder got... Yeah, I still would have done it. But you have nothing else to prove. Everything is on Deontay Wilder. And has been on Deontay Wilder since the first fight. That second fight where he came in dressed like a clown. And apparently that's why...
A Power Ranger, get it right. It's a black Power Ranger.
Yeah, he dressed like a clown. And, you know... wore himself out and got beat. He got beat in that fight. It'd be one thing if these were like random split decisions. You know, it's not like back in the day it was, Ali Frazier. You know, Tyson Fury whooped him. So to me, why are you fighting again?
Okay, so here's the thing. So two things. One, so the fight was being set up for Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, right? In August. And then there's this arbitration going on. All of a sudden, the arbitrator ruled that Deontay Wilder does have a legal right to that rematch. So he goes, all right, I'll go ahead and sign this fight. We'll get this done. So July 24th is that fight. And so now in the meantime, Anthony Joshua has to fight. The WBO is saying that he needs to fight Alexander Usyk, who is the mandatory for that heavyweight belt. So that's going to happen. And then hopefully by the end of the year, you get Fury, Joshua, if they both win their fights, right? Now, going back to what you said about Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, technically, Deontay Wilder is 0-1-1 versus Tyson Fury, right? By the results, to me, he's technically 0-2 because he lost that first fight. He did knock Tyson Fury down, but he lost just about every other round. If you go back, have you gone back and looked at that fight? Because if you haven't, and I urge anyone to go back and look at it, and you will see he lost that first fight.
Yeah.
And Tyson Fury's now said he's going to beat the shit out of Deontay Wilder even more than he did in the second fight just so he doesn't come back again.
And when are they fighting now?
July 24th in Las Vegas.
Of this year?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. At least it's going to happen early. I thought it was going to be one of those, like, when you said that, I'm thinking, okay, is this 2022? Yeah, I'm not waiting for that one.
2 months.
Good. I mean, so, you know, let's just sell it and get it over with, but I think Deontay got whooped, you know, and that's it. So the only way that Deontay can't take this fight the full, 12, it can't go to decision. He would have to knock Tyson Fury out to be able to get any credibility. And then if he loses this fight, then he just needs to stop fighting.
Well, here's the problem, and I didn't understand why he didn't try a couple other fights on the way up. Like, he could have taken fought Andy Ruiz. He could have fought anybody else coming up and fought some of those. He could have fought, what's the guy's name in England? Oh, my God. Just like that, just because of that, I forgot his name. But he's been calling out Deontay Wilder for the longest time, and he could have fought him. He could have fought Ruiz. He could have fought two or three other people to set up this Fury Wilder 3 fight because he would have, one, made the money and then at least gotten people back to this knockout power that he had, right?
Yeah.
I think ego has him wanting to fight Fury. He believes the hype and believes all the conspiracies that, oh, he had weights in his gloves. He had this. There was padding missing. Stop it. Because that's not what it was. Your people check the gloves. Those gloves are inspected. You can't change the gloves.
Yeah.
You got your ass beat. Now, let's see what happens this time. And I think he's going to get beat even because that fight should have stopped in the fifth round last time. I think Tyson Fury is going to try and beat the shit out of him in the first three rounds and try to knock him out in that first three rounds. And he said he's going to knock him out cold this time. He's like, I'm going to knock him out cold, and it's on to Anthony Joshua. And I think that'll be an interesting fight as well, too. So I'm excited for it because I just want to see all the people who thought Deontay Wilder, and again, I was a Deontay Wilder fan until he became too arrogant. And it's like, I'm excited to see this fight happen, though.
That's why I see it get it over with.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing about him. Tired of hearing about both of them. Just like, let's just move on. He lost. And he better not come in wearing a clown suit. Like, to me, he should come in like just his shorts. Don't even wear a robe. I don't want
him
anything.
Come in like Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I don't want any extra weight on top of you. You know, in fact, you should have someone drive you in. Maybe ride one of those scooters. That way he doesn't exert any energy, and that way he can't make any excuse.
You know, all of his excuses are going to fit onto this bullshit. But, you know, some other bullshit that popped up in here. I saw this headline. And first of all, the first two words let you know exactly where this is going. Florida man.
Yeah, done deal.
But like, sold. So it says, Florida man accidentally shoots himself in the leg while picking up a case of soda at Walmart. I'm like, all right, this is interesting. You got my attention.
Yeah, that's just dumb. I mean, A, who, well, not who, people do this, and probably people in Florida, but if you're going to have a gun, and doesn't Florida have open carry policy?
I think so, yeah.
So why not just have it on a holster on your hip? He had it tucked into his waistband. So then when he bent over, shot, and luckily it was only his leg. Don't, you know, God forbid, you could have shot off something.
Shot off your pinky toe.
Yeah. Could have shot off your other toe. Although, that would solve the kid problem I was talking about earlier, just throwing that out there. But,
one less stupid person in the world.
Yeah. That's just crazy. I think, you know, a couple lessons you learn from this. A, don't tuck a gun in your waistband. B,
yeah.
Stop drinking sodas. It'll kill you. It's bad sugar.
You know, it's not the movies. You can't just tuck a gun in your waistband and it's fine. So you can't do that. But, you know, so the reason why he didn't have it in a holster outside is because he doesn't have a concealed carry, right?
Ah.
So he doesn't have a permit to carry the weapon anyway, which is why police said that witnesses saw him after he shot himself. He slid the gun across to somebody that was with him so that they could have the gun because he wasn't supposed to have it. Why are you walking into Walmart with a gun in your waistband if you don't have the right to carry it? I don't get it.
Well, here's what I want to know. I want to know about this guy's lifestyle. Because what are you involved in that you feel you need to have a gun on you at Walmart?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, if he was some young gangbanger, I get it.
Right.
Right? But he's 30. Mm-hmm. I can't make any assumptions based on his name to know what his ethnic background is. you know, it's Kyle Griffith. A lot of people said about that. But,
let's see.
But I just wonder, like, what is going on in your life that you got to walk around with a gun on you?
It can't be that bad because you're out there picking up a 24-pack of soda at Walmart. So, I mean, you know.
Should have went to Costco and get more sodas. Buy in bulk, Kyle. Buy in bulk.
Oh, my God. This, let's see. I'm actually searching here to see if I can find Kyle, because there's so many Kyle Griffiths out there.
It's such images. A common name. You're not going to be able to find it. Probably not.
All right. Take a look at his face right here. Yeah, he definitely is.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he looks a little disturbed.
He looks like he would be carrying a gun in his waistband.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, he looks like he would do one of two things. Shoot up a black church or shoot up a movie theater. Like, he looks just yes. like.
He definitely does.
He looks just way. Like both of those guys.
Yep.
Wow.
Well. Oh boy!
I love the other story about the woman that fakes the wedding to get back at her ex.
Yeah, that's so amazing because you've got this woman in Germany. She did a TikTok post that showed photos of herself holding hands with a groom dressed in a white, long white gown. And her video is, she's got a song in there by Gnarls Barkley. Remember that song, Crazy? And she goes, yep, I'm crazy. And what she's talking about is that she had broken up with an ex, and to make him jealous, she decides to fake this entire wedding. So she gets this groom for hire, has him take pictures with her. They take pictures with her bridesmaids and everything else, and post a picture, post these up, and of course her ex sees them on Instagram, and texted her the next day, freaked out because he thought she was cheating on him the whole time they were together, which of course wasn't the case, or according to her, it wasn't the case. Who knows? Because if you go through all this, who knows what the hell you were doing? Went to her house, wanted to talk to her, said she wasn't interested, so she blocked him, deleted him from all social media accounts. So basically, she did that just to piss him off and then ignore him. That's another level of crazy.
Petty. That is just ridiculous.
That's crazy. That's not petty.
Yeah, it is totally. She's a sociopath. or at least psychotic. She's something. That is just crazy. Y'all broke up. Okay, move on. Like, I just don't get that. Y'all broke up. You're in Germany. There's a lot of people. You find someone else. But to go through that whole level, and I look at her friends are all being crazy too. Because if you were to call me like, hey, Terrell, I got this plan. You know, I want to get back, you know, at my ex. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to fly out. You're going to rent a tux. We're going to, you know, take a bunch of pictures. Yeah, you know, you're my best man in this. And all that just for you to get back at somebody. I'm going to be like, that's stupid. No, I'm not doing that. So her friends are crazy as hell. So birds of a feather. So, yeah. Because that's just crazy that all of them were in on this whole deal just so she could have this go viral on TikTok and then get the attention that she wanted just to block him off all social and that's leave it at that. Yeah.
You see, and so that's where I go because that's crazy. Petty is the woman who went all the way to Seoul, Korea to cut off a love lock because her and her ex had put one there in this tourist attraction. You know the love locks they put on? Like in Paris, they do it on the gate over the bridge. Well, she went to Seoul, Korea. So 6,000 miles to go and cut it off. And the thing I'm thinking about this, what I'm noticing is they go viral on TikTok doing this stuff. I don't know if they're really that crazy or they're just doing it to get their social media accounts up and to go viral. I think people are just doing this shit to get viral, to go viral. It's like, all right, if I do this and people are going to go, oh, this person's crazy. If you're dating this person at this time and they go viral for doing this, are you, because you're out here on these dating sites, you run across one of these people and you see their post and she goes, oh, well, I just did that for you know, likes and clicks and to go viral. Are you giving that excuse or you go, no, you really are that crazy?
No, you really are that crazy. I don't want to date somebody who does that. You know, if you go viral on accident because of something that, you know, you did, but you're purposely doing this type of psycho stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't date girls that do a whole bunch of selfies. Mm-hmm. Like just you're that kind of person. I'm not interested. If I look on your social media and it's all these selfies of you making these faces and duck lips and all this other bullshit, I'm like, yeah, much? Hard pass.
Really? Huh? Judgy much?
Judgy much? Yeah, I am judgy. I don't want to date somebody that does that. I post on social, but you see the stuff I post. It's rarely is it selfies.
Yeah,
but
I post salsa dancing with too much whiskey. Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, when Suave Mente comes on, that's what you're supposed to do. You're just not supposed to just sit and just be like, that's a good dog. You know, Suave Mente comes on, you get up and you move. But I think people that are constantly, and you see this, like how many people do you see on social that at least one or two times a day are posting selfies of themselves? Those type of folks that do that all the time, hard pass, because to me, they're on a different level of crazy that I don't want to have to deal with. Because when you do all that, and then especially when you get in a relationship and there's all these selfies of you and bae and all that, and then y'all break up, then you got, you know, posting all this other bullshit, all these memes about love and, you know, being strong to you, being true to yourself and, you know, that Marilyn Monroe bullshit. You know, if you can't love me at my worst, then you don't deserve me at my best. Like, all that crazy. No. If I see that on people's social, I'm like, yep, she's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I'm out.
Oh, my God. Let's get out of here. Oh, shit. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That's the name of the podcast. What you drinking today, man?
It's early here. Mm-hmm. So I had coffee, and now I'm sipping on some water. Had a lot of wine yesterday, though. So there's that.
So you still have that running through your blood right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got wine in my veins. I'm fine.
Keep myself nice and primed, you know, ready.
Well, I've been sipping on some the red edition of Red Bull. Your favorite flavor, watermelon. Mm.
So typical. Of course you have watermelon.
For those who may have missed that joke, it's happened in South Carolina. Somebody tried to offer Terrell a Jolly Rancher. And I, what flavor do you want? Watermelon? He has never forgotten it.
Nope. Never forgotten it at all. So, yeah. But, of course, you know, if you want watermelon, that's fine. I don't do that.
Yeah, it's the only way I do it. Not in the actual fruit.
Yeah. I'm Yanni, did I tell you I don't even eat watermelon in front of white people? Have I ever told you that?
It sounds like a Wanda Sykes stand-up bit.
I don't do it.
Watching.
Yeah, I don't do it. Somebody, I remember I was working at Applebee's, and one of the managers bought a watermelon. It was hot summer day, perfect season to do that.
So it wasn't CJ, was it?
No. So he cuts it, and I'm just like, you know, and I grab it, and in my mind, I just felt like, and this is just in my head, this didn't really happen. As I grab it, I just felt like people were like, but look. And so I was like, at that point, it just got in my head. I'm like, I don't eat watermelon in front of white people. I just will not do it.
Look at how happy he is.
Yeah.
Look at that smile on his face. Look at the joy in his eyes. Look at the glisten, the teardrop.
Let's see if he starts singing one of those Negro spirituals after he eats it.
I've been working on the railroad, waiting for a watermelon break. Oh shit, let's get the hell out of here with my watermelon Red Bull, whatever the hell it is. They're not sponsoring, so we could call it the wrong name.
Yeah.
I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
You stupid.
Oh, when the Saints go marching in. Oh, when the Saints go marching in.
Oh, my God.